In the name of the Lord Jesus, first of all, we thank Him for giving us this opportunity to learn together the Word of God. Even though we are from different walks of life, possibly with different experiences, I think we have the same mind and same heart to serve God, and that's why we are here together. And again, we have to give Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, thanks for His love and His mercy upon us. If you look at the timetable, you can see it's quite heavily scheduled. I think as we go on, at least some of us or one or two of us would give you opportunities to ask questions, to participate, and of course we will also, as we go on, possibly starting from today, would give you some kind of introduction to Africa countries, including the current situations, past events, and possibly some slides or video clips, some pictures, so that you can have a feel of what Africa is all about. But all this needs a lot of concentration, I suppose, because 5 days, 6 days solid from day early in the morning until late in the evening, you need a lot of good sleep. I didn't have good sleep. I had only about 4 hours sleep last night, and I lost about 10 hours work that I was going to prepare for you, as my computer just starting to play out with me, just starting a few days ago. But anyway, I've got a little handout which would cover one of the very important doctrines of salvation, the one and only water baptism. And then if we got time, we go also onto the Holy Spirit. And a little handout also on the one true God, which I will not talk much about at all because somebody will be talking about it. But of course with different handouts, I suppose. So I think maybe to start with, if we can pass this on, one each, and then it'll be useful as reference. One each. Now, of course, there are comments that we have come here to learn some very basic doctrines of salvation. Some people, might think that it's very easy. But if you think it's easy, then you can start talking about it more rather than me talking much of it. Yeah. So, obviously, water baptism is one of the very, very important doctrines of salvation. If you want to go to Africa, of course, there are a lot of works that you can do, which we can talk about as we go on. But one of the things, of course, that you would like to do is to preach, right? At least water baptism, I suppose. If you can't even preach water baptism, I think I find it difficult to go to Africa, I think. You go there to preach. Of course, you can say, I want to go there to do RE work and teaching music, teaching RE students and all kinds of other works. But people will ask you anyway, whether you like it or not, if you go to Africa, hey, how to go to heaven? How can we be, saved eventually? So don't look down, on this water baptism. I've been baptized, so I, must know a lot. I don't think so. I can tell you, with my little survey, even in the UK, most of the brothers and sisters don't know how to talk about water baptism. I don't know about people, brothers and sisters in USA, I'm not quite sure. But I tell you, the Africa brothers and sisters are much better than the UK brothers and sisters in terms of preaching the doctrine of salvation. This is for sure. So I think, hopefully, after this little course of 5 or 6 days, we should be geared with the very important doctrines of salvation. Fingertips, right? You can preach anywhere you go. That is what we're talking about. Not to say, hey, you need to head bow down, living water and this. You've got to explain why. Oh, that is more important than just knowing what should be done. But people will have to ask you many more questions than just statements that you can put forth, And people nowadays are very inquisitive. They ask questions that might be very difficult to answer in the beginning, because you might not have expected questions from such seekers. So as we expose ourselves to a different kind of ideas, you know, when we talk to many more people, then we find out, hey, it's not very easy to preach water baptism, I tell you. I think that is what we are going to share together. Obviously, for those who have been preaching and sharing with others water baptism, you can also, you know, share with us your opinions, your experiences, your encounters, you know. Maybe we can learn from you too. I'm sure this can be done. For example, one of the points about water baptism I'll go into very heavily, quite heavily, is, for example, why we should go to living water to be baptized. And this question is asked many times in my course of, you know, preaching to many people in Africa, also some in here. Why do you need that? You have to explain why. You can, of course, have a lot of verses in the Bible, but I think the presentation of your argument would be important, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and definitely the inspiration of God. And the people will come to realize the importance of certain aspects of water baptism. Now, if you turn to the handout, I have given you an outline. I mean, this is a model for you to preach water baptism. And depending on the situations, of course, you can then preach different points as required. So first of all, if you look at it on page 1, you can see the origin of water baptism. And then on page 3, point number 2, you can see the needs for water baptism. On page 3, point 3, you can see a section also on the mystery of water baptism. And then on point 4, still on page 3, you can see quite a number of points listed out here, the correct way to perform water baptism. That continues until page 6. And then on page 7, you can see something about infant baptism, and then what is needed to be done. Point 6, sin no more of the water baptism. And that would give you a simple, you know, if you like, structure of going through water baptism according to the Bible. And from page 8, on pages 8 and 9, you can see some very common queries or questions asked by tree seekers. But of course, you can have hundreds of questions that we can put down here, which can be asked by many tree seekers. But all these ones here I have put down are actually the ones that I have, you know, talk about when tree seekers ask. So these are very common ones. They ask these questions. These are the common ones, if you like, the most common ones that I encountered myself. And I would say maybe during your free time, if you can find any according to timetable, try to answer these 12 questions. Possibly one or two of you, all of you, might be asked to present 2 minutes or 3 minutes. What do you think? Good idea, isn't it? Wow, no. I say yes. The questions are here. I haven't given you the answers here at all, because I purposely want you to do some work. I don't think it's a good way to teach one-way traffic. In all my career of education, I don't like it, one-way traffic. And I like two-way traffic. Plus, research. You have your own ventures. Now, when I was doing research, I always like new things, and I think you will do the same. Okay. And on page 10, you can see water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, page 10. And this is only a model, you know, which one can use for preaching the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Starting off, what is the Holy Spirit? And then on page 10, point number 2, why do we need the Holy Spirit? evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Point four, I specifically have outlined here the difference between Doria and Charisma. Very interesting, huh? How to receive the Holy Spirit. And a little bit about point six on page 12, discerning the spirits. And also on page 12, starting at the end, you can see some very common questions on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I, in a way, actually have given some answers there. And from page 4 onwards, I have just given a little, you know, about the one true God, which will be handled by another preacher anyway, so I won't be touching much of that at all. But I think the page 15 may be quite a useful reference as far as proving that God is one. You know, God in his different manifestations actually do different works in the history of mankind according to the plan of salvation of God. So there are three columns here. Each one detailing the manifestation and works. And then, of course, was that page 16 is another table regarding the divinity and humanity of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's come back to water baptism. Without looking at the handout, can we give us a summary, any one of you? You know, we'll ask questions and then we'll answer questions. What do you think? Good, isn't it? Water baptism originated from what time? When did it originate? I think it's very important. It originated when John the Baptist began to baptize, right? That can be seen clearly in John chapter 1, verse 33 in the handout. Huh? This origin is important. But then when we come to the effects of the baptism of John, and then there are different views. Some say, as Paul says, you know, it's only a baptism of repentance, not for the remission of sins. But then one has got to explain, for example, Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says so clearly, isn't it? Somebody can read it. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Read aloud. Yeah, in other words, verse 4 and 5. So, verse 4 tells us, baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Some say, hey, that is not very clear, but it's very clear here. Confessing their sins, repentance for remission of sins. There are two views. Some say, hey, it's just a baptism of repentance. Because Jesus was not, you know, knelt on the cross yet. Jesus had not put down his Holy Spirit, and therefore the church has not been established yet. And how can it be that John's baptism was for the baptism not only of repentance and the remission of sins? Actually, this is no different from the salvation given to the people in the ancient time. They did not go through water baptism. But what do you think of their sins? And of course, you refer to a lot of verses in Hebrews, you know, that the blood of animal cannot wash our sins. You know, Jesus' blood is the only blood that can wash our sins. So then there will be a lot of confusion then. In other words, some people say, the baptism of John is just for repentance, not for remission of sins. But when you look at the Bible, I've been looking at this verse in many versions. Everyone says the same. So how do you account for it? In other words, do you think the baptism of John is not only for repentance, but also for remission of sins? What he says here? Louder.
So, but after Jesus died on the cross, then they have to go through the baptism
of Jesus. Right. It's true. It's true. Right. Okay, what would that tell us?
What does it tell us?
Yeah.
That after Jesus dies on the cross, then we all should go through the baptism of Jesus.
Okay, what about people who died before Jesus was nailed on the cross after having been baptized by John the Baptist?
I think it's okay.
It's okay.
It's just like the blood.
Just like the robber on the cross.
The blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, it's kind of an intermediate stage.
What do you think, John?
I think what you're saying, I mean, the ancient people, they saved because they repented and they believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't need to go through baptism in the same place.
They did not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So before the baptism of Jesus, so anyone who's been baptized by John will repent their sin will be forgiven, and they are saved.
This is one view, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but after the baptism of Jesus, then everybody have to go through that baptism, not the baptism of John.
If they are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
If they were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what my view as well, actually. But I have encountered people who say, no. That is only for a baptism of repentance, nothing to do with the remission of sins. Then I spent quite a lot of time looking into this verse alone in different versions, original text. I can't see any difference. I mean, the actual presentation of this verse is very clear. So I think the answer offered by you is right. After the downpour of the Holy Spirit, then they must be rebaptized in the name of Jesus. I think that is fair. There's no problem. If they died before that was available, fine. No problem. So I don't think we should argue too much on this when we have got solid proof in the Bible. This is my view anyway, but I have got proof. It says so clearly. I talk about this because we had a very long discussion with some other preachers, you know, and different people, different preachers, different views. But anyway, I mean, I said the best thing is to look at what the Bible tells us. So when we presented these verses, and it's difficult to argue against the fact that, you know, God actually accepted this baptism of John, and for those people who died before having a chance to be rebaptized. No problem. So water baptism originated by John the Baptist. But of course, as you know, John was sent by God to do baptism. In John chapter 1 verse 33, huh? And I did not know him, but one sending me to baptize in water. So he was sent to do so. Very important. But one thing I still do not know is in what name did he baptize people of John. It is something that I asked many preachers, I don't know. I said, okay, you don't know, I also don't know. I don't know, maybe preacher call at the back, no? I don't know. This I'm asking. I don't know. This Bible doesn't say. Preacher, what do you think? You think so? He uses Jesus' name. He uses, No. So we don't know. No name. Just baptized. Yeah. Turning point, okay. Yes. They just went down, yeah, yes. Themselves, yeah?
Yes.
Mm. But John was doing something different. He did the baptism for the people.
He
yeah. But in what name, we do not know. No name.
No name.
Well, anyway, it's a question you can think about. But it's not mentioned in the Bible, so I can't say he used what name. I think it's a thing, isn't it? What the Bible doesn't emphasize, I don't emphasize. Is that correct? That's right. So you don't ask me, huh? Anyway. So this is the origin, huh? God sent him to baptize people. That is for sure. And then Jesus himself actually demonstrated water baptism, right? He requested John the Baptist to baptize him, as you all know. So that tells us so clearly. Of course, I mean, John, the baptism of Jesus is something which is also unique. Again, if you've got time, you can go into that. But the whole purpose of Jesus' water baptism was to demonstrate that if you want to be children of God, you better be baptized, right? There's one of the very important purposes. It's a demonstration to tell us if we want to be called the Son of God, like Jesus after he was baptized and he came out of water, and then, as you know, water spirit, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove upon him, and then there's voice in heaven. Oh, there's a voice of the Heavenly Father. This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased. So Jesus confirmed then the importance of water baptism. And after this, of course, we all know. If we turn to page 2, I think it's easier, isn't it? Save me writing on the board. It's good to have some handout sometime, you know. And the people, the brothers and sisters in Africa like it very much. In the beginning, we don't give them any handouts. They just took notes. After a few years, you know, one time we look at their notes. I don't understand their notes. I'm sorry. Is it recorded? Oh, not very nice. But that's the fact anyway. And one day when I was with them having a seminar for 7 days, actually it's RE seminar, about 6 years ago. In the beginning I said, do you know English? Everybody can speak English, eh? Yeah, yes, of course. So okay, no interpreting? Do you need interpreting? No. Okay, just continue, you know, doing the lessons. And after about 5 days, I asked them, is it okay? It's still okay. And I look at their notes. I don't know what they have written. They don't know what they're doing. They couldn't even take notes. It was very, very sad. But we here, I think we're so blessed by the Lord. With our background, with our education given by God, with our little experience, I think we are so much blessed by God to learn together. So if you look at the church established by the Holy Spirit, of course it was the Holy Spirit who established the church. We cannot deny that. But that was done through water baptism. It is very clear. So the apostles established the church by water baptism, with the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. The apostles, including Paul, obeyed the command of Jesus, as you all know. Baptized people who believed. If you look at Acts, I've given you all the verses here. In order to establish the church. The first church, how many people were baptized? The church, when it was established, first time? 3,000 people were baptized. And that started off the church. So So water baptism is indeed very, very important, if we say indispensable, and it's absolutely true, to establish the true church, the church, in the end time, in the apostolic time too, of course. So bearing this in mind, if you look at the starting of the church, you can see without water baptism, there cannot be a church formed. Since the formation, establishment of a church, of the church of God, you know, needed water baptism, and still needs water baptism, can you see how important water baptism is? In other words, whether you like it or not, the definition of the church is so clear, as you can see in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Are the people, the believers, whose sins have been washed away during water baptism. And this washing away, remitting of sins, only possible through the correct water baptism. So bearing that in mind, that definition, you can see so clearly. Any other churches, without going through this one baptism, they can call themselves churches, inverted commas. But in the Bible, in the eyes of God, sorry, not recognized. The churches, or a church, the church of God in the end time, must be people who have gone through the process of water baptism, rebirth through water. So this is what happened to the apostles, you know, who actually established the true church at the time by water baptism. So everyone who is or who was to be a member of the church must be baptized. Now this is quite clear anyway. I think when Shuko talks about Acts of Apostles, maybe he'll talk about this anyway. So this is all in Acts of Apostles. The true church at the time was established. And that's establishment. So clear, so vividly described in the Acts of Apostles. Any questions on this regarding the origin? I think we should have an essay maybe after the end of this lesson. So what do you think? You know, otherwise I don't know whether you have absorbed anything. Maybe I'll think about it.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Mark chapter 1:8 and also other verses from the one you just quoted. Here John said God, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Jesus, sorry.
John saying Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, right. So what's the question?
The question is that at that time, John knows Jesus is the Savior. John knows Jesus has a power to remit people's sins. Then why would he say Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit?
Isn't that a prophecy seen by John, you think? He was able to see what's going to happen, isn't it? Especially when in verse 33, John chapter 1 verse 33, he said, whomever you see the Spirit coming down, abiding in him, and this is the one baptizing in the Holy Spirit. So in other words, John was actually paving the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Right? So he was inspired by God, of course. But as we know, as we study later on, that actually John was with the Holy Spirit even before birth. So he must have been inspired quite clearly by God about what he was doing. And as he spoke, his words were of prophecies too, that we cannot deny, definitely. What do you think?
No doubt. I think the key is that, would that be more easier for people to understand, say, Jesus will baptize you with his blood?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes.
Or, because John says that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And me, personally, interpret it, say, okay, he will baptize you with the power of God, because the Holy Spirit is God's power, it's the Spirit of God. But again, it just makes our interpretation a little bit not that direct.
So your question is, why John said you'll
why
be baptized?
Did he not say Jesus will baptize you with his blood?
You ask him, I don't know. But I think the main emphasis is this. He said this because he said, I can only baptize you with water. But Jesus was going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Meaning, receiving the Holy Spirit, really. I think this is more important.
Or meaning, Jesus is going to baptize you with the power of God.
How can you baptize him with the power of God? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. It's a good phrase, but you can say that. I mean, we must have the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Baptism, I think, here is important. Is baptism of water and the Holy Spirit. I think, to me anyway, John actually was here telling us, or the people at the time, now I can only baptize you with water, but you need more than this. You need also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says so clearly. The one coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, I think, huh? And that is the main thing, I think. So this baptism is not limited to water only. It's got to be with the Holy Spirit. I think that is the main message from John anyway. What do you think? Oh,
I just asked a question. I have no answer.
Yeah. What were they? Any other comments on this question? Yes. John chapter 15 verse 3. John chapter 15, verse 3, so everybody can know what we're talking about, huh? Uh-huh. So the question is?
There's no record that the disciples themselves, that they went through what happened.
So what is the question?
So is that true, that the disciples did not go through?
Oh, you're asking another new question, huh? This is another issue which we talk about anyway many times. But most of the people believe that they were baptized. This is what I can say. Or most of the TJC preachers that I've talked to believe that they were baptized anyway. Even though the Bible doesn't mention about the water baptism, we can exclude it anyway. But then the Word of God can, of course, wash away our sins. But that is not in the same sense of water baptism. Because the words of God wash away our sins in terms of we obeying the words of God. We don't sin anymore after we put the word of God. Then we put God's words into practice, and that word of God in us can empower us to lead a holy life. The washing is a gradual process. It's a gradual process. The washing of our sins by the word of God definitely is a gradual process. But it can be immediate too, if we immediately stop sinning and then come to the Lord, of course. But on the long term, spiritual cultivation is a project. It's a gradual process, isn't it? That's why you need the Holy Spirit and the power of God to be with us continuously. Quite participative, isn't it? I didn't expect that. Well, anyway. They should have been baptized, you mean? Okay. Okay, well, I mean, that definitely is a flaw of logic. But I can ask you another question. Who baptized them? And what baptism was that? You see, a lot of questions will come out. So, another answer to this question is, I mean, I said, one answer is they were baptized, okay? Another answer is they are very special people. They were very special pioneers. There's another answer. But up to you to accept. In other words, God ordained, said, you do the baptism, let you do the baptism. Let the first person, you know, in the true church was baptized, not by a person, but by the Holy Spirit himself. Do we know this in history, yeah? Who can baptize him? He is the first person to be baptized. From then on, he baptized others. So what? So maybe it's the same thing. So I think all these questions, or answer to all these questions, are interesting. Intellectually, you know, wonderful. But I think as far as what we should do in order to go to heaven today, now, it's not very important. You know what I'm saying? So let us not be diverted, you know, from the very important issue of salvation, what we should do now. Because everything has got a starting point. God has his own way, own means to do something. So I'd have no doubt what I must do in order to go to heaven, and that you must preach. You understand? This is our goal and our way. So how it started, thank God. God, you said it, you did, I accept it. So I can say many answers to, you can have many answers to one question. I think you can understand what I'm talking about, yeah. Okay.
Can we get back to question that you just mentioned?
Which one?
John 15, verse 3.
I'm not talking about... Okay.
At that time, obviously, Jesus has not been crucified. Therefore, water baptism was not available. But if we read the entire sentence, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like now, Pastor King mentioned it, it's a continual process. And at that time, people's mind, their heart got transformed through the power of the word, teaching. Right? Later on, the apostles understand that using the word tool, not sharing the word, and also ask members to be baptized. So at that time, nobody was clean through the baptism. Because Jesus is with them, and the baptism was not even available. So in here, when it says you are clean, it's by through the purging of the word, and that means they are clean, but not necessarily they are qualified right there to be able to receive, to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That might be one of them.
Yeah, I think that is quite okay, yes. The word of God can cleanse us. That is beyond doubt. Yeah, that is not deniable, cannot be denied, definitely. But can he be continue to be in the cleaned or cleansed stage? I think is questionable. Oh, so it's a continuous process. Oh, definitely. It's not a problem. Yes. I mean, there's another answer. Yes, I think it can be included. Yes, one of the answers too. Yes. What I'm saying is, all these questions are very interesting. I mean, I like them very much. But I think we don't have time for this really, for now. If you want to put forward the answers to the different questions posed by our participants or attendees, you're most welcome in written work, of course. So do some writing up tonight, so that we don't just, you know. Oh, you're doing a lot of writing. Okay, you can give us a copy later on. Anyway, let's come, because otherwise we won't be able to go through all this. Page 2, the needs for water baptism. You might be surprised to hear some truth seekers telling you, hey, I tell you what, you don't, water baptism is not for the remission of sins. I'm sorry, I don't believe in what you say. I have met many, many truth seekers come up and say, look, water baptism is not for the remission of sins, even though they have seen verses in the Bible. Very strange. Until you pray together with them, talk to them, reusing the Bible again and again, say, look, read yourself. Hey, read yourself. Another more verses. Okay. It takes time to actually convey the message of God. So that tells us one thing very important. Sometimes we think we know the word of God and preach. I tell you, nobody can... Then it might happen that nobody might accept what you preach. But you must not be discouraged. You just continue doing it. And by God's grace, and it works. You just have to use the word of God. Don't be frightened by repeating the words of God. And the needs for water baptism definitely is for remission of sins, which can be seen clearly. Huh? Because if you have not preached to people, you might have taken it for granted. Hey, everybody should know this. It's in the Bible. It's not true. The more you preach to people, the more you feel that you need to do a lot of groundwork. You have to have the power of God so that God can inspire them. And I think if you're going to go through all the points, it's going to take us 10 hours. So I'm going to when I want to go to some other points which are very, very interesting and important. But let's run through quickly anyway. So if you were to preach, of course, usually when you give a sermon on water baptism, I tell you what, it's not very easy to deliver the whole message within 1 hour in Africa, for example. We usually go on about 2 or 3 hours just about water baptism. People just listen. Little break, maybe. You can't give a sermon of water baptism just within 1 hour. This is my experience anyway in Africa. Because 1 hour, what can you talk about? Not very much. Origin already, 45 minutes. Not even talk about it. If they ask questions, okay, well, water baptism could be 10 hours. Ask questions, you have to answer questions. And this is also one way to preach to people. So we must be prepared to answer questions as we go along preaching to them. So hopefully, I mean, this little guideline could be useful for our practical, usage. So through the blood of Jesus, definitely, believers are reconciled, everything seen, and justified and saved. And you can go on saying, because everybody has got sins, and all have sins, and sins even before birth. And of course, you have to preach consequences of sins. You must establish first, sins are in us before water baptism. And you must confirm that. Believers must be able to be convinced that they are sinners. Otherwise, they will not believe in Jesus. So water baptism actually is to convince people, telling them that you are sinners. You are sinners, in effect. In effect, this is what we're talking about. Is it not true? This must be borne in mind constantly. And of course, in order to not to scare them, but to tell them seriously, then you have to talk about the consequences of sins. And then the Holy Spirit will move them to accept what is in the Bible. Wages of sin is death. All this you can continue to talk about. Any question on this needs for water baptism? I've listed out a list about what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 major points. Any questions or any injection that you would like to give us or share with us regarding this topic? Topic of sins must be remitted through water baptism. Louder, louder, louder. Experience, they don't believe in what you say. Is that what you're saying? They don't accept, they don't admit.
If they could not accept their sinners, it's very hard to enter
them.
If they admit that, yes, Lord, I have done wrong, then somehow the message is very easy to get.
It's true. That's what is more, what is more difficult than what you have said, do you think? Anything else which is more difficult than what you have just said, do you think? The Christians who have believed in Jesus, and yet they said they have been baptized. They have believed in Jesus for 50 years. And you come along and tell him, hey, you are still a sinner. Well, that was not easy, or not easy at all. We met some in London. They have believed in the Lord Jesus for all 50 years, 60 years. And then you preach to them, hey, you must be rebaptized. Oh, you're joking, what are you talking about? I believe in Jesus before you were born. And now you're telling me you're a sinner, I'm still a sinner? Oh, not easy. But, and yet, we still got to do it. But by God's grace, a lot of the bronze people, true seekers in Africa, they truly love God. They want to know the truth. And that is why, I can tell you, by God's grace, I've been preaching in London, in different, countries. But Africa is easier to preach. Because they have got the heart to accept and listen. And that is the reward that I have been feeling anyway through almost, this is my 10th year going to Africa. I think this is a reward. That's why Africa is not, I would say it's very easy. I want to let you down when you go there. It's not easy, but it's possible with God's power. But the only good thing that reward is, they believe. And they believe with a true heart. But sometimes they fall not because they did not believe or do not believe what you preach according to the Bible. It's because of spiritual cultivation. They fall not because of they don't accept the truth. Most of the times, it's because of spiritual cultivation, which is not easy. A lot of temptations, money, greed for power, all kinds. So they fall not because of they don't believe the truth. I think it can apply. It applies to all of us here too, if we're not careful. So I think the topic of sins are very important. We must know how to preach. And of course, we need God's power to help us to do so. Anything else you want to talk about this? No? Okay. No, move on. Mystery, huh? A word about baptism. Page 3, huh? And of course, many truth seekers will ask questions like, hey, how can water wash away our sins? And then you tell them, hey, you need the blood of Jesus, you need the name of Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit, all these three work together as one, as you can see in 1 John, So what are you talking about? You can quote, give them all the verses. They still don't think physically water can cleanse our sins. How do you convince them? Well, you can try your best to use many verses in the Bible. But I tell you, at the end of the day, it's also a mystery. In other words, God has got to move them. How God moves them, I don't know. I know God moves you and me, but God can therefore also move them. So I think, of course, you can explain according to what we've got here, some of the verses here. But physically, it's a miracle that one can see the blood of Jesus coming out of the body of Christ, when as a Roman soldier pierces his side, yeah? Let me ask you a question. When that spear was pierced into the side of Jesus, after the spear was drawn out, the water came out, or before? Blood and water came out, when? At what point? The spear was still there, or when the spear is drawn out, has been drawn out? Don't look at the Bible. I mean, you should know. I'll look at the Bible if you want, come on. What do you think? Spear, sight on. Jesus died already, at that time he's dead. When did the water come out? And the blood coming out? As soon as it's pierced, isn't it? It's a miracle by itself. How can water and blood come out? Some of us are scientists here, I think. It's impossible after a dead body hanging on the cross for so many hours. And the blood must have clotted. Water coming out from the body on the side is not very easy. It's a miracle. So if that happened as a miracle, therefore God can do anything. Our sins forgiven in the blood of Jesus. That's why we see a lot of miracles, in the true church, during water baptism. So that I think you can emphasize anyway, in terms of mystery of water baptism. It's a miracle accompanying the work of God. John says this so clearly in John chapter 19, isn't it? Remember? Verses 32-35. He said, I have seen it with my own eyes. You better believe it. This is a miracle. So that, I think, you have to emphasize when you preach the mystery of water baptism. And of course, you can supplement your message by using 1 John chapter 5 verses 6 to 8. During water baptism, you must have water definitely, you must have the blood of Jesus, you must have the Holy Spirit, and it must be administered according to the way prescribed in the Bible. And then the mystery of the power of God would be imparted upon washing the sins of a believer. Any questions on this? No. Almost coming to an end, huh? And then I think after the break, we're going to just think about. I want you to think about this, the way to perform water baptism. Do a bit more contribution if possible. Any questions? We've got 3 minutes. As you can see from page 3 onwards, 4 is the correct way to perform water baptism. According to the verses in the Bible, I have outlined so clearly. First of all, a person must believe, otherwise we will not baptize him. And this is in the Bible. One who believes and be baptized, so believe must come first before water baptism. And then you can talk a lot about belief. Believe what? Eventually, we'll talk about the true church is the only true church in the end time. Well, if you don't believe that, I don't baptize you. Simple as that. That will come eventually. This, we always say that. Always preach that. So this belief, you shouldn't talk about water baptism. It is a lot. You can talk 10 hours. Believe in what? Already so much. Huh? So belief must come first. Is it not true? How can a person be baptized if he doesn't believe? And then he must repent. A person cannot truly repent if he doesn't believe at all. He doesn't believe in God. How can he repent? It's impossible. Repentance and belief are very important. Belief, repentance. I don't think there's any, it's difficult, you know, questions on this anyway, as far as I can see. I think 4.3, on page 4, the Baptist must have received the Holy Spirit. This is not an easy topic to preach when we talk about water baptism. Why? Do you know why? For example, we're talking Africa. So that's why when we mention Africa, it's only appropriate, isn't it? Because we are all Africa voluntary, you know, future workers. So if you know a bit more about African mentality in terms of searching for the truth, then it's easier to preach, I suppose. So when we talk about the Baptist must have received the Holy Spirit, I don't think it's sufficient. Because many of the truth seekers we preach to claim they have received the Holy Spirit. I tell you, many of them claim they have received the Holy Spirit. Not until we pray together, and then they will say, hey, I did not receive the Holy Spirit. Then I would ask them, say, hey, you told me you received the Holy Spirit. I heard you speaking in tongues. You said you spoke in tongues. You spoke in tongues. He said, no, it's not true. I said, why? He said, there are 2 reasons for them to think they have received the Holy Spirit while coming to the church. First of all, they learn to speak in tongues. This is very common. They just say something consciously, willfully. They do it themselves intentionally. That is very common. The second thing is, obviously, I believe is the work of the devil or satanic work. Some of them speak in words that they don't understand. And yet, actually it's not from God. It's not from the Holy Spirit. And these are the 2 very common, you know, encounters when we preach about the Holy Spirit that must be received by a Baptist before he can administer this water baptism. So I think this is something we have to think about. The question I have got is, where can you find a Baptist? Where can you find a Baptist? That is the question. That is why I say it's not sufficient to just say, hey, the Baptist must have received the Holy Spirit. And they will come to you, I have received the Holy Spirit. What do you think you are talking about? So I can baptize people. Just last week I was preaching to, a person who claims to have been preaching as a pastor for 20 years. I think he met Preacher Cole and Preacher Young, I think. And he was here last week. And when we talk about this, it's not easy. So how do we have this breakthrough? I think it's really tough. Unless God moves him. or her, it's not easy. But still, we've got to do the same. We've got to continue preaching. And I think the best thing is to pray together. We pray together, and then God will move them. And it happened many, quite a number of times in Africa. There's a person who always claimed he has got the Holy Spirit. So he was moved in a vision to come from Uganda to Kenya to listen to the Word of God. So through the church. At the time, he said he got the Holy Spirit. But after 3 days starting together with us, you know, during that 4-day seminar, he, after the prayer, said, "Hey, I have received the Holy Spirit." And that surprised many people. Because in the beginning, he said he received the Holy Spirit before even coming through the church. So I asked him, I said, "Look, why did you say you received the Holy Spirit?" And now he said, "You have received the Holy Spirit." I said, no, I did not really receive the Holy Spirit. But this is different. So the Holy Spirit I received now is very different. It's the same as what you're doing. I can feel the kind of resonance between my speaking in tongues and the brothers and sisters speaking in tongues in the true church. This is a clear demonstration that the Holy Spirit that we're talking about in the Bible, in the true church, is really the genuine Holy Spirit. No one else can receive the Holy Spirit, really. This will come more when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Anyway, let's pray in silence.